Awesome. Well, hello. Yeah, like James said, my name is Aiden and I'm one of the staff here at UCM. But yeah, I actually got connected with UCM. I was in your shoes. I was in my first year. I did my undergrad here and I served on the leadership team for a few years. So UCM has a very special place in my heart. And it's so exciting to come here now and actually talk to you about art. I feel like my two worlds are colliding because I studied visual arts. So I majored in painting. I believe there's a slide with. Figured I should show you a piece. I made this piece in my fourth year. It's like the same height as me, so I didn't bring it because it doesn't fit in my car. But yeah, I love painting. I love art, so I'm super excited to share with you guys tonight. And yeah, this month we are going to be starting a new series titled Holistic Worship. Here at UCM, we value worship as a whole mind, body, and soul expression to God in both word and deed. So when Jesus was asked, "What is the greatest commandment?" He said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." For Jesus, true worship was holistic worship. It included these four facets of our human experience. It included the heart, it included the soul, the mind, and our strength. And so our heart refers to this emotional human trait that we have. It's how we feel. Our soul refers to the volitional human trait, what we choose, our will, like these decisions that we're making. Our mind refers to the intellectual human trait. This is probably one of your guys' most used traits here at university. It's what we think. And our strength refers to our physical human traits, so what we do. And I want to highlight these traits because they're so important in the way in which we think about worship to God. And so, over this next month, I hope that our understanding of worship can grow and it can, it's a value here at UCM that our worship would encompass all of these four traits. So, tonight we're going to look at how art can be a way in which we worship God. And in many ways, what I love about art is it actually really connects to these four human traits. And so art can connect to our heart, it can cause us to feel things, it can connect to our mind intellectually, it can, provoke, it can ask questions. It can also be something we physically do, like we make art. And so tonight, I'm going to look at three things. I kind of have 3 points I want to walk through. And the first is that God is a creator and we are made in his image. The second is that to worship a creative God, we should also create. And then third is that art can be an example of the gospel. And at the end of the evening, we're actually going to have some space to create some art. So that's a little insight into why there's so many things on the tables. We will be using those later. So let's dive into that first one. God is a creator and we are made in his image. If we look to Genesis 1, what is the first thing that God does? He creates. Genesis 1, verse 1, it's like literally the first verse in the Bible. And it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." God created. Our God is a creative God. It's a part of who he is. I just want to show you this artwork, and it's done by a very famous Canadian painter named Emily Carr. She's very well known. I mean, she has a school named after her in Vancouver. And she's really well known for her depictions of the landscape in BC. And this work is called Above the Gravel Pit, which she painted in 1937. And she paints these beautiful depictions of what God created. And for so many artists, whether they're sculptors or photographers, God's canvas is their inspiration. And even if you're not an artist, or maybe you don't look at art that much, I'm sure you've even just noticed the beauty of the changing seasons. In Kelowna, this was last weekend, I was out and I was just like in awe of what I was seeing and the colors and everything. And God created all those colors that you see, the smells, the trees, the lake, like the air we breathe. It was all intentionally designed, artistically designed by a creator. And he also created us, which is so cool. He didn't just make this planet. God made people. And so, yeah, Genesis 1:26, then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." And so if we're created in the image of God, he made us like himself. This means that we are also made to be creative people. All of you in this room are creative. You have it inside of you. I know we don't always feel that way, but creativity looks differently for everybody. And so this leads me to my next point, that in order to worship a creative God, we should also create. Psalm 150, verse 6 says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." God calls us to use the gifts that we have been given. An example of this artistically is when we actually look at the book of Exodus. And so Exodus is the story of God rescuing the people of Israel out of slavery in Egypt in order that they might worship him and become his kingdom people in the world. And chapters 25 to 36 are instructions on how to worship him using their full range of artistic expression. And so this verse here, Exodus 35, 31 to 33, or chapter 35, verses 31 to 33, says, "And he has filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom and with understanding, with knowledge and with all kinds of skills. To make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of artistic crafts." And in this passage, God specifically calls Bezalel, that's who he is talking to here, who's filled with God's Spirit, to oversee the artistic expression, the artistic design of the tabernacle. And this was the place that people were going to worship God. God was going to be glorified in this building. And God actually like filled Bezalel up with his Spirit to go and make this place and design this place. A quote that I love from a book that I've been reading recently called Art and Faith by Makoto Fujimara. He's a wonderful artist. It says, "Our journey to know God requires not just ideas and information, but actual making. We have to do something with that information. To translate our ideas into real objects and physical movements." And that's what Bezalel did. He used these gifts that God gave him, and he made this beautiful tabernacle. And similar to Bezalel in Exodus, many artists in church history have been commissioned to adorn the church with beautiful paintings and architecture. This is a picture of the Sistine Chapel, which sadly I have never been to. It is a goal of mine. And it's painted by the famous artist Michelangelo. And in the past, the church has been a really great patron of the arts. The Pope actually hired Michelangelo to basically paint like pretty much the whole thing. The arts were used to build these magnificent buildings, which spoke to God's glory. Parts of architecture were even intentionally designed to represent different kinds of imagery. They would represent the cross. Even here, there's the three stained glass windows, and often things were set in threes to represent the Trinity. So every single thing, just the layout and the design, was intended to point and direct people's eyes towards God. Art in these sacred places served as a reminder of these stories. Even in the stained glass, they're often depicting some sort of Bible story. And they were intended to help people reflect on who God was and what their relationship with him was like. throughout my years of studying art in school, one of my favorite things I learned and one of the things I just love about art so much is that it's not just made to look pretty. I think oftentimes, especially as a painter, people will be like, wow, that looks so pretty. But a lot of times art is used as a tool to communicate a message. Artists are trying to use their art to say something, to provoke, to ask a question. And I think what's so cool about this is that this means art is a really great evangelism tool. And it's something that I feel like we don't use enough of. Art can be an example of the gospel. It can help us spread the gospel. So kintsugi, I want to talk to you about now, is the ancient Japanese art form of repairing broken pottery, and specifically teaware. And what it does is it mends the areas of breakage of this pottery with gold. And kintsugi doesn't just fix or repair these broken vessels. Rather, the technique makes the broken pottery even more beautiful than it ever was before. And this art form actually highlights the cracks and brokenness of the pottery rather than trying to hide them. It actually even emphasizes them. It's the first thing you notice are these cracks that are sealed with gold. And this example of kintsugi depicts redemption. It captures the redemptive act of God through the death and resurrection of Christ. Our God is a God of restoration. He is the ultimate kintsugi artist. We, God's children, are his pottery, broken, but sealed together and made more beautiful through Christ's sacrifice on the cross. Isaiah 64, verse 8 says, "Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand." Every single one of us is created by God. And so just as the gold binds these broken pieces of pottery together, Christ redeems our brokenness and our whole lives through his blood. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." And so this act of creating, the act of making art, is in a way we get to actually participate in new creation. We actually get to make something new. We get to be like God in that way by creating something new. In her poem Upstream, Mary Oliver writes, "Attention is the beginning of devotion. Art gives us the space for attention, which looks quite a lot like prayer. And that's what the world needs now, space to take notice of each other, our own souls, and the still small voice of the Lord." And so to close tonight, we're going to make some art. We're going to take this time to worship God this way. We're going to use that paper and the tools in front of you. So I'll invite the band to come back up, and I'll kind of give you some instructions for this time. And so during this time, you have a piece of paper. Hopefully everyone has a piece of paper in front of you. All good. And you can do with this what you would like. You can draw, you could write something, color, scribble. It does not need to look like anything in particular. But lean into your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Think about that. For Jesus, like we said, true worship embraced all four of those things. And I really challenge you to lay aside any preconceived ideas about yourself and your own creativity. Maybe you don't feel adequate enough you're like, "I'm not a good drawer." Who cares? The point is just to worship God. God accepts you as you are and says, "Come as you are." And so I thought I'd just give a few maybe ideas to start you off if you're feeling kind of stumped. Something you could think about is the word worship. What does that visually look like? You could draw that. You could draw nature. Draw something that inspires you. Maybe you learned something this week in your classes. create something based off of a Bible verse maybe that you've read recently. So after our art making time, we're also going to have a time of discussion and that kind of thing. So stay tuned for that. But before we start worshiping, I see people are starting, which is awesome. I'm just going to pray and then the band will lead us in some songs and you can create. I'm going to join you over there. So God, thank you for being a creative God. Thank you for making us creative beings made in your image, made to worship you. We want to worship you fully with all our hearts, our souls, our minds, and our strength. May your name be praised tonight. Amen.